Turn to Revelation chapter 16. Revelation chapter 16. It's a good Wednesday night crowd. We're going to focus on verses 17 through the end of the chapter this evening, specifically the seventh vial. The seventh vial. Saturday morning, so anytime, I was very impressed with Brother Emberdor walking back and forth, pacing off, using the timeline, adding the church age in there. I was excited. I get excited just watching you walk. It's good to see, and it's important to be able to visualize these events, which is why I walk back and forth and point to this rail and that rail to give you a visualization. That's why people make diagrams to help you visualize. Some people are visual. I am visual. I like to see things. Growing up, the kids, I'm not much of a video guy, but the kids, I'd be working on a project, and the kids, they wouldn't come to me. They'd go see Mom, and they'd say, "Mom, Mom, Dad's watching a video downstairs." And Mrs. Bishop would nod and say, "Your dad's doing a project. He needs to watch somebody do it. You leave Dad alone. He'll be okay. He'll be okay." I like to see things. I like to see things. My son Daniel, I helped him with a water project just recently, sweating pipes, copper pipes, and putting flux around it and sanding them off and reaming them out and then soldering them together. And Daniel looked at me and he said, "Where did you learn how to do that?" And I was 21, 22 years of age, and I shadowed Pastor Harmon. He was a bivocational preacher in Michigan, and he was doing a plumbing job, putting hot water baseboard heat in the church, and it required that every section had to be reamed and had to be sanded. Now, he did the soldering. He taught me how to sand and how to, and then I just watched him. And I'm watching him do that thinking, I could do that. And after you watch a guy 252 times, it's like you've done it all your life. And that's why I learned to do it, by watching someone else. So don't be afraid to visualize it. If you're not a visual person, I probably can't help you. We're in verse 17. "And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air. And there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, 'It is done.' And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake." Kind of like a Los Angeles earthquake? Oh, no, bigger. Kind of like 10 earthquakes together? Oh, much bigger than that. How big is this earthquake? It is a worldwide cataclysmic event. How big is it? Well, in history, there is nothing like it. Not since men were upon the earth. Not since Adam was in the Garden of Eden. So mighty an earthquake and so great. "And the great city was divided into three parts. And the cities, plural, of the nations, plural, fell as a result of this worldwide cataclysmic event." This is not localized. This is not just happening in San Francisco. This isn't like the little tremor that we felt here, I don't know, 20 years ago. That rocked the Washington Monument. This one's bringing the Washington Monument down. It's dividing cities. Hills will be leveled. "The nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath." How powerful? Verse 20. "Every island fled away." How powerful is this earthquake? The mountains were not found. Earthquake, earth opens up. Mountains are swallowed. Not an event like this ever in the history of the world. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. Men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. And let's pray. Father, I pray that you'd help us this evening as we look at these verses coming down to the end of the tribulation period, the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I pray that we will be helped and we will understand, and that seeing these events not unfold, but seeing the shadows of these events, that we would not be, they would not catch us as a thief would catch an unsuspecting person, but we would be watchful and warning. Help us to do that. Well, thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Also, Saturday morning, Brother Victor wanted to throw the church age in here somewhere. So where are we going to throw it? Well, it's got to be before tribulation period, and we all know a tribulation period starts right here, right? So here we are, way out there somewhere is the beginning of time, Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and then we're coming into the church age, which is where we are now, and we are coming towards this event. The beginning of the tribulation period, when in Revelation chapter 4, John was caught up. Where would that be? I don't know. There's going to be a meeting in the air, caught up. We'll be caught up together, meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Revelation chapter 4, John was caught up. Caught up to where? To heaven. And there he saw some events. The great sealed book, the seven sealed book. Who is worthy to open the seals and to loose? Who is able to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man was found. Now, I'll talk about this Sunday night just a little bit. No man. John wept because no man was found worthy to open the book. And the angel said unto John, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, Jesus Christ. He is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. And those seven seals cover the 7 years of tribulation period. The seventh seal opens up the seven trumpets. The seven trumpets open up the seven vials. The seventh vial is right here, right at the end of the tribulation period, ushering in the second coming of Jesus Christ. When Christ plants his feet down on the Mount of Olives, the Battle of Armageddon is here, and the millennial reign, the thousand-year of reign of Christ, is in the future. And that's where we are. Revelation chapter 17 and 18, up and through 19:10, are parenthetical. So you look at this and you think, chapter 19, verse 10, picks up the sequence, the chronological sequence of events. So you look and you say, well, two chapters, this has to be a long period of time. And again, it's a parenthetical. It is an explanation of what is transpiring. The seven seals, a line of the tribe of Judah. Chapter 16 is a distinct difference as we view the seventh vial. Because unlike the seventh seal, which introduced the seven trumpets, and the seventh trumpet, which introduced the seven vials, when this seventh is opened, there are no more judgments. So this chapter and this vial judgment is unlike anything else. It has been, these events have been likened to when the sun goes down. I'll go back over here. When the sun goes down on the church age, the sun casts a shadow. And we do not see the events, but we see the shadow. And I know you're seeing them because I'm getting right now, 20 or 30 emails a week on things that you're seeing in the news. And you're talking about, and people, and they're good questions. And none of them have been bad or anxious. But they're legitimate questions. And what are you seeing in the news? And that's what the emails are. you're seeing, and this was just this week, I didn't see the article, except that someone, one of you, shared it with me and said, "Hey, Pastor, I just saw this in the news. Is it possible that they can have the temple up and running?" Because there was an article this week that mentioned that. In just a very short period of time, 6 weeks, is it possible? Well, if you were back here in 2001, 2002, back 24 years ago, the Israel government had indicated that they had the sections of the temple built, modular building, that it's just like you take out a block and you put it in place, take out a block. They're totally finished. They just need to be put in place. And that in 6 weeks, that's what they said in 2001, in 6 weeks they could have the temple up and operating. I am not an expert on modular building, but Ray DeGuzman is. So if you have any questions about modular buildings and how quickly the pieces can go in, you ask Ray. I find it absolutely amazing. In the neighborhood where the Parsons live, going down towards Claremont Elementary School, there is a two-story house, two-car garage. It's a big thing. And they put that together in one afternoon. I watched them in about 4 hours. There was a crane there. The pieces, the modular pieces showed up on a truck, and they lifted the pieces, the first two pieces of the first floor, the second two pieces of the second floor, the peaks on the roof, the garage they lifted as one piece and set in place. It was absolutely amazing to watch. And we're going to be watching that from heaven. So when you see that article appear in the news, your faith should not be shaken. You are seeing what? We are out here again in the church age. The church is caught up prior to the 7 years of judgment, tribulation. But we are seeing, as the sun goes down, we are seeing those shadows being cast. Are you afraid of a shadow? Here's another one that's been in the news, a red heifer. Israel's been talking about this for, I knew quite a bit about Bible prophecy just hanging around my dad. But when I was in my first year of Bible college, there was a guy in the back, and he was a back room, and he was one of those smart guys, and he said, "Have you heard about the ashes of the red heifer?" And I, you know, I'm a farm boy. Ashes of the red heifer, half of a Holstein, half of a, I don't care. Black Angus. And I just wasn't familiar with it. But now, almost regularly, you hear in the news media them talking about the red heifer, and does it have, is it perfect? Is it able to be the sacrifice? Is it able? Because it is that ashes of a red heifer that will institute the next temple. And so that's important, but you've got to remember when you see that in the news, that we're out here, they're projecting into the tribulation period, and we are seeing the shadow of what is to come. As the sun sets, as the sun rises, Jesus Christ, it casts a shadow as well. It casts a shadow forward. And so we are going to see, when you get to chapter 19:10, Jesus Christ again returns. The Battle of Armageddon takes place. The millennial reign of Christ, and that shadow of the sun coming up casts a shadow forward. Do I know everything about the millennial reign of Christ? I do not. Do I know everything about heaven? I do not. I saw Mrs. Barnett yesterday, and we talked about Jesus coming again. And I told her about some of the messages that I've shared with you just recently, inspired by my dad, the thief on the cross. Today, you will be with me. What a great encouragement that is. The thief on the cross said, "Lord, remember me when you go into the kingdom." And Jesus Christ said to the thief, "Today, you will be with me. Oftentimes we focus on the place.
Man, what's heaven going to be like?
Today you will be with me. He was thinking as Miss Barnett and I were talking, said, you know, John chapter 14 is very much like that. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you. What is the next phrase? That where I am, there ye may be also. And again, to his disciples, he was sharing a wonderful Bible truth. It's not about the place. It's about the person with Jesus Christ. The seventh vial, introducing the second coming of Jesus Christ, the millennial reign of Christ, the overthrow of the God-haters. And then you hear a great voice, and the great voice, and the title, are you ready? It is done. Contrast that to what Jesus Christ said on the cross. Here we are in the church age, let's go back to the cross. What did Jesus Christ say on the cross? It is finished. The price has been paid. The ransom has been paid. We'll talk about that Sunday evening. It is finished. You are able to have salvation, the presence of the Holy Spirit. You are able to have access to God. It's just a neat thing. But men don't want that. They don't want that for a variety of different reasons. Jesus Christ, it is finished, through which men can enjoy redemption. We sing the song, redeemed how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the... By works? No. By the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed and so happy in Jesus, His child and forever. Great doctrine. Good doctrine in that song. We sing about redemption, being redeemed. The seventh vial, this proclamation, it is done, is from the judge. It is done. 7 years of tribulation, 7 years of judgment, seals, trumpets, vials, 7 years of opportunities, 7 years of restored worship, or 3.5 years of restored worship, to witnesses, thousands of missionaries, proclaiming Jewish people being saved as the sand of the sea, and an amazing thing, and Christ comes up to the end and says, it is done. Your time is over. Now is the battle of Armageddon, where the nations and the peoples of the world unite against God. Last Wednesday night, we talked about, went around the room and said, the Marines and the Army guy. We had a Marine up front. I didn't realize that. Gary was here, and he is in Alaska this evening. Yeah, great excuse that is, right? He's in Alaska this evening on a cruise. And so where's my Air Force guy? Air Force guy says, we can absolutely do it. Not a problem. And then I talked to Brother Gary after the service. The Marines are already there. That was his response. And so after the service last Wednesday night, we stood around and talked about really what is going to go on the battlefield of Armageddon when the nations of the world... Do our armed forces sometimes have a hard time communicating with one another? Yeah. So did you know the nations of the world speak different languages? You think the radio traffic is bad now? You just wait till the Battle of Armageddon. You have not seen such a fiasco as there is going to be in the Battle of Armageddon. As the nations in different languages hurry, rush to the battlefield, how is the Lord going to win? I don't know. There have been times in history where the armies killed each other. I don't know. But all I know is it takes the word of His mouth. Why do people reject the gospel? Well, in the first century at Calvary, the people said, we will not have this man, Jesus Christ, to rule and reign over us. We will not. And we come to the end of the 7 years of tribulation, the battle of Armageddon, and people raise their fist against God, and the cry is still the same, we will not have this man, Jesus Christ, to rule and reign over us. Many reject the gospel for the same reasons today and will during the tribulation period. The reasons won't change. They do not want God. They do not want God's authority. They do not want God's morality. They are quick to condemn others for acts of violence, yet give themselves a pass. They would condemn those that are immoral, yet give themselves a pass. Men with men, women with women, anything outside of marriage between one biological man and one biological woman for life is sin. It just is. But people still say, we will not have this man to rule and reign over us. So here's something that is shocking to the conscience. Occurred in our area here in Northern Virginia. Not a far long ways across the world. An 80-year-old woman was shopping at the Target. Yeah, there it is. It's not in my notes. Yep, there it is. At the Target. A Target in our area. She's 80 years of age. And a 25 to 30-year-old male in the store sexually assaulted her. Shocking to the conscience. I'm looking at your face and you're going, oh, that's terrible. Yeah. See, we are, and there we go. We are good at condemning it in others. But we should not allow it in our own lives. We should not. We are quick to condemn this egregious act and then give ourselves a pass. And again, during the tribulation period, it will be no different. They'll fuss at God. They'll condemn. You're stealing from me! Then they'll steal from others. We are upset about others, but we give ourselves a pass. And we should not do that as believers in Christ, as followers of Jesus Christ. Why? In tribulation period, that's what the God-haters do. I do not desire to be identified with the God-haters, with the Christ-rejectors. A great earthquake. Verse 18 talks about that. Unbelievable in magnitude and devastation. A great city split into three parts. The great nations of the Gentile world fall. You think of the nations. Rome, Paris, London, New York, Washington, D.C. leveled. People debate, is this Jerusalem? Is this Babylon? Is it Rome? Rebuilt Babylon, Iraq. Revelation chapter 17, we'll get there soon, talks about mystery Babylon. Seems to be talking about Rome, not Iraq. My dad will tell you that after chapter 16, he does not take a position. But I believe that great city of Revelation 16 is indeed Rome. Regardless, whether Rome or Jerusalem or rebuilt Babylon, chapter 17, look at verse 18. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. And that is destroyed. These verses lead to chapter 17. They lead to chapter 18. God's judgment upon Babylon. You look at the great expositors and even some taking a historical interpretation. I'll just list some names. John Huss, Wycliffe, Luther, Zwingli, Calvin, Knox. I would not agree with all these men on all their doctrine. What's interesting, they all agree that the great horror of Revelation is the Roman Catholic Church. Sir Isaac Newton, Jonathan Edwards, Wesley, Matthew Henry, Spurgeon, And the list goes on and on and on. Verse 19. And that great city was divided into three parts. The cities of the nations fell. Great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. A graphic descriptor to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Again, the second vial, hours, minutes prior to Jesus Christ planting his feet on the Mount of Olives and that great earthquake taking place when he does. The wicked city, the representation is judgment. Verse 21 talks about a great hailstones. Anybody seen hail recently? How many of you have ever seen inch hail? Hail size of an inch. Okay, some of you. Anybody here seen 2-inch hail? You have. Where? Seriously. Wow. I can remember a kid growing up. We didn't know enough to be afraid of the storms. We didn't know that hail meant there's a tornado nearby. And so Dad would say, quick, let's go to the barn. Well, the barn had a tin roof, and Dad loved. He said, oh, that's music, beautiful music to my ear. As those stones would be literally deafening, would beat on that old tin roof. Summertime, middle of summertime, you'd look out over the yard, and literally, it looked like snow, but it wasn't. It was ice, 3 inches, sometimes 4 inches deep in the lawn. It was just pretty incredible. And I can remember running with Dad to get to the barn. Number one, it was safe. And a little guy and those little pebbles, I mean, about this big, hitting you. Man, they stung. Now imagine a hailstone about, what does it say? A talent. The weight of a talent. How much is the weight of a talent? I'll go to the gym tomorrow and get yourself a medicine ball that weighs 100 pounds. A talent weighs about 100 pounds. That medicine ball is probably going to be this big. Now you're running to the barn. I don't think the metal roof is going to keep that hailstone from coming through. It is going to level buildings. It is going to kill people. It is absolutely astounding to even visualize that. Brutal from heaven. Devastating. Think of Sodom and Gomorrah. And God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, is consistent in his judgment. And verse 21, like those in Sodom and Gomorrah, as Lot tried to get his relatives to flee the wrath to come, the Bible says that Lot seemed as one that mocked. Why? Because he lived the life of a God-hater, of God-rejecter. He lived in disobedience to God. He lived the lifestyle of the unsaved people around him. And when it came time to witness, nobody believed him. Now, I don't know that it would have made any difference how he had lived his life, because people just reject God. But I don't want to have to face God, and you should not desire to face God someday and for God to say, you lived your life in such a wicked fashion that people around you would not pay any attention to my gospel message. God said that about King David. King David had sinned with Bathsheba, and God said to him, your lifestyle, what you have done, has caused, as a world leader, it was big news at the time, has caused the other nations to turn away from me. Because they looked at King David of the Israelite nation and they said, and they say they serve Jehovah God, and they are no different than the rest of us. And so God had to judge David because of his sin and the effect that it had on others. No repentance. Verse 21, no repentance. Men blaspheme God because of the plague of the hail. This is a sad statement of the depravity of the human heart. The whole world judged. And answers the question that the world often asks, if there is a God, why doesn't he do something? To which I say, he is absolutely going to do something. He is absolutely going to do it. And here at the end, as this vial is open and the Battle of Armageddon hits, Christ plants his feet on the Mount of Olives and defeats the armies of the world, his judgment port, then that question is answered. If there is a God, why doesn't he do something? And then, as you enter the millennial reign of Christ, history will document, he just did. God just did do something about it. You don't need to back off. You don't need to shy. You don't need to be afraid that there is sin in the world. God is absolutely going to judge that. Again, the Battle of Armageddon, anarchy, confusion, multiple nations, multiple languages. Who's in charge? Who's given orders? Who is the enemy? I know who is going to win. And it is not going to be Satan. Satan laughs. I can see him laughing. I have just wrecked the human race. And that's all he wants. To wreck the human race, to wreck your life, to wreck your future, to wreck your family. He is not your friend. He will not win. From the very beginning to the very end, Satan is a defeated foe. And you will either embrace Jesus Christ on the cross, as he said, it is finished, or you will face Jesus Christ in judgment, as he says, it is done. Father, I thank you for your word. I pray that we would be students of your word. We would see the shadows. The shadows are not going to hurt us. Not be afraid of them. But not ignore them, that that day should overtake us as a thief. But may it motivate us to be ever so faithful with our gospel witness, warning people to flee the wrath to come. And we'll thank you for your salvation throughout all eternity. As we are with you. Thanking you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. It's good to see you.